This is Full Logic Reverse. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. We hope you'll stay tuned. And joining us on the line is Stephen Hill, who's the Western Regional Director for the Center for Voting and Democracy. Stephen, thank you for being with us.
Oh, nice to be here, Mike.
Well, we appreciate it. Can you let our listeners know about the Center for Voting and Democracy and what you all do there?
Sure. We educate about various political reforms that will help to increase voter turnout. We'll give voters more choice at the voters' booth in terms of having, say, more minor parties and different types of candidates, and not just have them on the ballot, but actually have a chance of winning, as well as it would allow, say, Democrat and Republican voters who right now may be living in a district that is very lopsided for the other party. So you're a Democratic voter living in a Republican district, or a Republican voter living in a Democratic district, and you don't have much, you know, there's not, your vote doesn't really count for much sometimes, or you feel that way. So the types of reforms that we deal with, proportional representation, instant runoff voting, and some of these others basically are designed to get people more involved in the process again.
Well, I'm listening as you're speaking, and I'm saying, boy, some of these types of reforms, and probably all of them actually, are really needed, because the political system as it stands today, in my opinion, seems to represent only a very, very few individuals, and perhaps, to make it more specific, a very, very few rich individuals. It seems like some changes are needed to be made. Perhaps we could talk about what some of those are. You brought up the topic of proportional representation. Let's talk about that.
Sure. Proportional representation is, well, let me back up. We use in this country and in California a voting system called winner-take-all. Basically, it's one representative per district, and everyone who votes for that candidate who wins, they get a representative, and everyone who votes for the loser, it's sort of tough luck. Or, you know, you're stuck with trying to convince someone who's your representative to do things that are diametrically opposed to their point of view. And so it sort of throws the whole idea of representation out the window. You know, no taxation without representation, but we have a person sitting in the, you may have a person sitting in the as your representative who is diametrically opposed to your point of view, and that's often the case for most people. So with proportional representation, it's a different way of electing, where say if you have five parties out there, if a party wins 10% of the vote, they get 10% of the seats. If a party wins 40% of the vote, they get 40% of the seats. If they get 60% of the vote, they get 60% of the seats. And so by doing that, suddenly you have more choices for voters. Voters can vote for a reform party or a libertarian party or a green party, and they can win their fair share of seats. Voters can also keep voting Democrat or Republican if they want, and they will win their fair sheet. So basically it's going to give voters more choice, and that, on the other side, will mean you'll have more meaningful debate, because suddenly you have more voices in there that are bringing different policy options to the table for voters to consider.
It sounds to me very, very much like some European systems. I mean, they're doing that proportional representation already, correct?
Right. So, actually, most of the established democracies in the world use some form of proportional representation voting systems, though it's not just European. We have it in small places here. There are certain cities that are using various forms of it. The Academy Awards uses a proportional representation voting system to select the five finalists in all the major categories. Certain corporations use what we call a semi-proportional system to select their board of directors. The Democratic Party uses a proportional system to select its presidential candidates. So it is sort of happening in different places, but we just don't think of it as that. And we can bring these different forms of proportional representation into our electoral arena and really give voters more choice and clean up campaigns, and even helps with the campaign finance angle to a certain extent.
We're talking with Stephen Hill, who is the Western Regional Director for the Center for Voting and Democracy. My name is Mike Thornton. This is Full Logic Reverse. We are talking about your electoral process and who may or may not represent you in your state house, local government, or in the seat of almost all power, Washington, D.C. Stephen, are you ready to take a phone call?
Sure.
Great. Caller, you're live on the air.
Gentlemen, the false and misleading assumption by proponents of the policy of get as many people on your side out to vote, and if you don't vote, then you'll never be free or you'll never be any better than you are. That false assumption, because what we're calling now the campaign fund donation, and the administration in Washington, the presidential administration, says they want to reform it. Well, you don't reform rape, you don't reform larceny, murder, but you knock it out, you eliminate it, and everybody knows that campaign fund donations is just a fancy political academic euphemism for bribes. And when it comes down to the nitty gritty, there's no difference between a bribe and a campaign fund contribution when it produces the result of getting the donor the results that he wants, either vote for a certain bill or vote against a certain bill or introduce certain legislation. And I would suggest that the reason that Ms. Bach changed her party affiliation was to increase the range of field of donations, so it wouldn't be just restricted to those small extremists who love to hug trees, the Green Party. She's open now to the same source of donations as the liberal Democratic Party.
Let me suggest that we'll be talking about Audie Bach a little bit later. But what I'd like to do is ask Stephen Hill of the Center for Voting and Democracy, to what degree can proportional representation, I think I have to agree with the main points that the caller makes, that, as it is so constituted now, campaign contributions are de facto bribes.
Right.
To what degree can proportional representation help to break this stranglehold, this cycle?
Yeah, it could help quite a bit. There's no question that the campaign finance system we have in this country is broken, and it's pretty an unusual system compared to what most places around the world use, that you have public financing and these sorts of things. But the thing we have to remember about this when we try to fix it is that, for instance, the center, one of the things we do is we make predictions about elections. It's kind of a fun thing we do. And we were able to predict 90% of the races in the California State Assembly in 1998, 3 months before the election, without knowing anything about campaign finance. And the reason why is because the districts are divided up every 10 years. And the people who are dividing up these districts in the redistricting process are the incumbents themselves. And they are dividing them up to basically guarantee themselves safe seats. So what happens is that you get a tremendous number of seats. Two-thirds of them in Congress are won by landslides of 60% to 40% or higher. In California, the figure was 70%. And as I said, 90% we could predict with a great deal of certainty. And so what that means is that, the districts are lopsided to be either so Democrat or so Republican that even if you change the campaign finance angle of that, it's not going to change who gets elected in most of those districts.
So,
because the money is not the money in that sense is going to who the donors know is going to win, because the district has been drawn to produce that result, okay? So we've got to be precise about what we're trying to fix and why, or else we may get unintended consequences. Personally, I think that public financing would be a great boost for our democracy. It would take away the need to raise private money. It would give underfunded candidates an opportunity to get their message out. And that message is what voters need to hear. They need to hear more policy options, not less. Because right now, with the way things work, you're having a dumbing down where both the Democrats and Republicans are targeting swing voters in their districts if it's a close race, and that's all they speak to. Okay, so that's where all the money is going. So, the proportional representation would open that up by giving voters more choice. You suddenly have, a third, fourth, fifth parties that can have a chance of winning. Or we don't have to have party-based systems. It can be candidate-based systems as well. And voters have more choice, and the candidates then are going to be trying to attract those voters who are interested in their policy proposals and not trying to speak to this great amorphous majority out there that no one knows who it is or whether they belong to it or not.
We're talking with Stephen Hill of the Center for Voting and Democracy. Stephen, it's really interesting because you bring these points up, and I don't think I really thought about them in the way that that you sort of crystallized them for me, is that we hear a lot of wrangling, you know, periodically about campaign finance reform, and that is usually, you know, focused, of course, on the money and how they get the money and all of that. But what I'm hearing you say is that we could spend a lot of time dealing with that, but really never get to the real issue, which is redistricting and the advantages that incumbents have because the system is structured the way it is. I mean, that's what I'm hearing you say.
Exactly right. And beyond that, what I think one of the goals we're trying to do, what we need to do, is we need to be able to produce different types of candidates that can get out there and run and put their message out so people can think about their policy proposals and actually have a chance of winning. Whereas right now, the way the system works is, you know, you have to be, if it's a competitive district, which most of them are not, so you have a race competitive between only Democrats and Republicans, they're only going to talk to the swing voters, that narrow 10 to 15% of voters in that district that determine elections. They hire a political consultant that does a poll to figure out what the wedge issues are in that district, and then they start using attack ads to go after their opponent. That's how politics works in this country, and it's because of the winner-take-all voting system that we use. That's how it works. Now, the campaign finance angle could deal with that, a small part of that, but the overall picture is not going to change as long as we're still using these winner-take-all systems where incumbent politicians are drawing their districts for themselves and all these sorts of things. So what I'm suggesting is that campaign finance reform, particularly public financing, is part of a mix of reforms that we need in order to produce candidates that are going to make people excited to get involved again. We can't forget that our voter turnout is plummeting in this country. It's regularly below 50%. For congressional elections, it was about 37% in 1998. We're seeing races like Dallas, Texas, where the voter turnout for the mayoral election in Dallas, Texas was 5% of registered voters. There are other places in the Carolinas and in Austin, Texas, where it was single-digit voter turnout, okay? In L.A. County, they canceled elections in seven cities when there weren't enough competition to go up against the incumbents. We're reaching a point where it's hard to even almost call it a democracy anymore, or it's a very deformed sort of democracy. So we've got to start thinking of different ways to give voters more choice and to put out there good, articulate, intelligent candidates bringing new policy options that the Democrats and Republicans are not going to consider because they're just focused on bashing each other and targeting these swing voters in these swing districts.
I'm thinking about several things that you're saying, and one of them, I guess the first question I would want to ask you is that, I mean, on the one hand, I mean, why are people so apathetic? I mean, how do you have an election where only, you know, 5% of the people come out to vote? I mean, is it simply that there's no choice and people are just going, oh, what does it matter? Or, I mean, are we taking our ability to vote, you know, so lackadaisically that we don't even bother anymore? And, yeah, I look around at the country and I think, real problems with some of the things we're doing domestically and some of the things we're doing internationally. And it seems that so many people, I don't know, is it that they don't care or what?
No, I think they do care. I think that there's not a great sense out there that your vote counts for a lot for, among the people who don't bother to vote. You know, I mean, some people like George Will, the conservative columnist, has proposed that maybe people are not voting because they're satisfied. But in fact, we know who's not voting. The people who aren't voting are young people. They're overwhelmingly people who don't have a lot of money. They're people of color more than white people. So in other words, the people who are voting are overwhelmingly older, whiter, and wealthier than the rest of the populace, and they're basically getting the representation for everyone else. And that's who the candidates speak to. When the candidates, for instance, using the issue of health care, the issue of whether the fact that 45 million people, most of them children, don't have health care in this country, that's not even being discussed by the candidates. They're talking about HMO reform. They're talking about reform for people who already have health care. The swing voters in these crucial swing districts, that's where the issues go. And so you leave out on the margins all these other issues that don't get addressed, and that's because of the winner-take-all voting system. So by having a proportional representation voting system, where you can have a third or fourth or fifth party winning 10%, 15% of the vote and winning that many seats in the legislature, those perspectives, they become the laboratory for new ideas that bring new perspectives into the forum and into the public debates to be discussed. So I think it's not so much a case that people have given up. They just don't see that their vote is worth a lot. And particularly, you know, in an era of globalization of the economy, local government seems to be less and less powerful. Even national governments seem to be less and less powerful before beholden to Wall Street and bondholders and stockholders and things of that nature. So I think that we need to start talking about these different ways to make people feel like their vote counts again. And people will respond if we have different types of candidates out there that actually can win.
This is Full Logic Reverse. We'll be back in just a few moments. We're talking with Stephen Hill of the Center for Voting and Democracy. My name is Mike Thornton. This is Full Logic Reverse. Stephen, the other thing I was thinking about when you were talking about this somewhat perverted democracy that we have, and I'm, you know, using my own words here, but you know, one of the things that I'm noticing is it's almost getting to the point where the reins of power are being handed down to family members. You know, I mean, like, you know, the sons of the former and all of that. It's almost getting to be a monarchy in a way. I mean, does that make sense?
Well, we've always seen, you know, so much of politics today is about name recognition. So whether you're a Kennedy or a Bush or a Gore or whoever, you know, the scions of famous families, that gives you a big leg up, as well as if you're wealthy in these, particularly for close races. So, you know, I mean, I think your point is well made. I wouldn't want to overstate it in the sense of actually being a monarchy, but there's definitely, you know, the way politics, modern politics has gone, where so much of it is driven by television and whether you can buy ads on television for presidential elections and then whether you can afford the pollsters and the consultants to run your polls and things. You almost have to be, I think of politicians as more of like the CEO of their own little small business, you know, and that's what you have to be today. And so we have to start playing with some ways to break that up. I mean, you know, we should be thinking about things like holiday voting or weekend voting. That's what most countries do, so that you're not trying to squeeze it in between your, you know, going to work or after you finish with work, and the polls are lined up with people at the end of the workday who are waiting in line to vote, and they don't do it during the workday because they're at work. So there are a number of things that we could be talking about, but unfortunately, the people that have to pass these things, in most cases, the politicians themselves, they think the system works just fine for them. So citizens have to start taking it upon ourselves, and we at the Center for Voting and Democracy can be a resource for these sorts of things, doing voter initiatives and all sorts of different types of things like this.
Well, let's talk about how citizens can push this type of agenda forward.
Well, some of the ways is, first of all, we have to educate ourselves. As the first caller mentioned, you know, campaign finance reform, that's something that gets a lot of play about what's wrong with the system and how broken it is. And certainly, as I said earlier, the campaign finance system needs to be restructured, but it's just the beginning. We need to start looking at some of these other things like proportional representation and educating ourselves on how proportional representation works. So one of the things you could do is check out our website. The center has a website at www.fairvote.org. And check that out, because we have quite a lot of information on there about proportional representation. Instant runoff voting is another reform that we need to educate ourselves about. What it does is it allows voters to rank candidates. So the whole dilemma that's going on now with Pat Buchanan, should he run or shouldn't he, on the liberal left side, it goes on with Jesse Jackson or Ralph Nader. Will they steal votes from the main candidate and end up electing the greater of two evils? You know, with instant runoff voting, you get rid of that problem, because voters can rank candidates, so they can put Pat Buchanan first, George Bush second, or, you know, liberal voters could put Jesse Jackson first, Al Gore second. And if your vote doesn't count, If your first choice doesn't win, your vote transfers to your second choice. It's like simulating a two-round runoff, but you're doing it in one election. And by doing this, it means someone like Jesse Jackson can run, turn out the vote, turn out supporters, give those supporters something to look forward to, and he can talk about his policy issues and not end up electing stealing votes from Al Gore and electing the Republican instead. And same on the right side of things. So that's another reform that would, you know, in a sense, increase the value of the vote for voters.
And
so, you know, these are the things that we need to educate ourselves about and start having meetings about and start going to and testifying at charter commissions about. And it is slowly happening around the country. We, at the center, we get calls all the time from cities and states who want to entertain these sorts of things.
Well, it seems that all of these are designed to open up this system and to force the people who are currently entrenched in it to address issues and deal with new faces, new thoughts, and new ideas. And certainly, I think that people probably are, in many respects, just kind of used to doing things the way that they do them and don't think in terms of restructuring things like our election process into something like proportional representation, understanding what the full benefits of that are. I mean, this is really exciting stuff.
Right, exactly. And the politicians, you know, they're used to taking voters for granted. You know, when most of these districts are so non-competitive, and so the voters themselves don't have much choice, then the politicians themselves don't really have to work hard for your vote because it's not a competitive district. As I said, most of them are won with landslide margins of 60% to 40% or higher. Last election, 98% of in the U.S. House, of 98% of incumbents won re-election without too much trouble. You know, so in that kind of a situation, voters are going to feel left out because they are being left out. The politicians don't really have to, as long as they keep within the framework of, you know, sort of how the majority of voters in that district or the supermajority of voters in that district, how they feel, then they don't really have to do much beyond that. And so, you know, we have to look for ways to break this up. And instant runoff voting, proportional representation are two ways. Term limits, you know, some people had a lot high hopes for term limits, and it was put in many states. And I think it has done a little bit to break up some of the good old boy and even good old gal network that prevails in a lot of our legislatures. But it hasn't really given voters the type of choice of new candidates and new parties and, you know, more Jesse Venturas and more Jesse Jacksons and who actually have a chance of winning in our legislatures instead of just the anomalies that we see occasionally when someone like Jesse Ventura wins as a governor in Minnesota.
We've been speaking with Stephen Hill of the Center for Voting Democracy. Stephen, just a final question, if we can. You know, our listeners are out there, they're listening right now, and maybe perhaps some of them are feeling really, really frustrated with the system. What are a couple of very, very concrete things that they can do, and then also contact information for the Center for Voting and Democracy, and any other final thought you might have for us this afternoon?
Sure. You know, as I said earlier, I think we have to start educating ourselves in these different types of reforms, and then start gathering, you know, call up your neighbors and bring them over, and you know, you can contact the center at the website www.fairvote.org or our phone number. We have an office on the West Coast and we have one on the East Coast. I'll give you the Washington D.C. number, 301-270-4616. That's 301-270-4616. So we have things like videotapes that we can send you. You can show them to your neighbors, to your friends, to your family members. Call up talk radio and start talking about these ideas. Start talking about how redistricting the process is totally been taken over by the incumbents and that the line should be drawn by independent commissions. You know, I think that we have to somehow take back our democracy ourselves, and that's a lot of work. So I don't want to underplay the amount of work that is there, but we do have voter initiatives and I think it's 25 states, and also at your local levels, there are voter initiatives, and you can put in a proportional representation system for your city council. It helps to break up city political machines that come to dominate city councils, and you can do that at the local level as well. So no matter what level you're at, I think that there's something that you can do.
We've been speaking with Stephen Hill of the Center for Voting and Democracy. Stephen, these issues that you're talking about are so important that I would like to do two things. One is invite you to be on the show again at some point in the future, and also ask you if you could give out the contact information for the center one more time, please.
Sure. The website is www.fairvote.org, phone number 301-270-4616. That's 301-270-4616. If you ask them to send information, they will do that at that phone number.
Stephen Hill, Western Regional Director for the Center of Voting and Democracy. Thank you for being with us on the program today.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of the program today. I'm your host, Mike Thornton, and it's been my pleasure to be part of the team bringing you Full Logic Reverse. If you'd like more information about FLR, you can contact us via email, flr@jps.net, or by telephone, 530-271-0804. We invite you to join us next time for another edition of Full Logic Reverse.